We are very much focused on growth. And so, I think we're a great partner for a company that is looking to grow in terms of, making investments with a longer-term horizon in mind. Growth does take time. We typically won't put a lot of leverage on a company because of our philosophy that sort of operational growth and financial growth don't sort of live very well together. And then as a result, we tend to hold companies longer. So our average hold's about 7 years. And I think, you're really able to achieve some meaningful value creation in that period of time. I mean, I think there are challenges for Canadian companies in general, and whether that's more pronounced at the mid-market or not, probably. But I think, certainly there's been a lot said as of late around the productivity gap in Canada. And, and access to a lot of that's driven by access to capital, investing in people and technology and so on. And so I'd say that, Canada certainly by all measures and statistics has lagged there. And another, fairly material challenge that Canadian companies have had is with the exchange rate. So a lot of Canadian companies for many, many years benefited from a 60-cent dollar. And so, whether the productivity piece and the exchange rate are linked, probably, because it allowed you to compete with U.S. firms, selling goods cross-border, because you had this sort of embedded exchange currency advantage. That's gone away, and probably has gone away certainly in the near term, near to midterm. And so I think a lot of companies who, have had to look at themselves and how they compete and how they produce and how they sell into the market to the south, it's been pretty challenging. And you see that in the statistics. Exports have declined in Canada as a percentage of GDP. But the good news is that the companies that have survived that change from a 60 cent dollar to a 100, a buck 10 to sort of down around kind of the 90s, a dollar, sort of where it is right now, should be stronger and better companies for it. And so that should have kind of separated, the herd a little bit. I think it is, lack of investment was probably the best example. So companies not, replacing things, but taking time to replace things or being slow to make more, I'd say, forward-thinking investments, if you will. And so in a small company, in particular one that's owned by an entrepreneur, that's a risky proposition to make a $5 million investment or to grow more aggressively and so on. That risk as a single owner is much more pronounced. And so it's understandable why they've done that, but a lot of times we will go in to companies contrary to what you might think as a financial investor and partner and encourage more capital expenditure. Yes, we're focused on cash flow, but part of the way you generate cash flow in the long term is actually making investments today. It's about a third. So we went back and we looked at it, and it's driven in part by a couple of things. One, the mix of companies that we have in our portfolio. So, for example, if our portfolio has a heavier weight on a telecom sector, for example, that would be predominantly Canadian, if not all Canadian revenue. And I see it growing, and that's in large part our strategy. And so our strategy is to take great companies or good companies that could be great, and a lot of that is helping them grow. And a lot of that growth comes from entering new markets, most notably the U.S. There are a lot of companies that enter the U.S. and have not had success. And so, again, you can see as an entrepreneur looking for a partner that can help them navigate that landscape is quite important. And so, you would typically see U.S. revenues as a percentage of total revenues grow during our ownership. And I see that trend continuing. And it really depends on what, where that entrepreneur is in his or her thinking. So is it, that they hadn't thought about it and we're the first person who's come to meet them about private equity, or are we one of 20 people who have called on them and they're tired of it? Or are they someone who's actually done a bunch of work and talked to, their advisors, various intermediaries, and got a sense of who the different providers are and actually have more of a targeted focus view and have a very clear idea of what they want in a partner? Because I think until an entrepreneur has sort of educated themselves on what options are available and what exactly it is that they want, are they exiting 100%? That's a very different exchange that you would have with a private equity investor versus someone who has a business that they want to grow more aggressively, and they want to partner with somebody for 5 to 7 years. That's a very different thought process and selection process. Most of our exits are to strategic buyers, almost half. The second sort of tranche would be public exits. That being said, the IPO market in Canada is pretty soft, and so that certainly has not been an avenue that we've pursued lately. I mean, our most recent public company was when we took Constellation Software public. We didn't exit at that point. We exited over a period of time. And that's usually the case. I mean, an IPO isn't really an exit. It's a start of an exit. And that process can take many, many years. So I think we will probably continue to see a lot of strategic sales, typically.